a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside. This is KSL Outdoors.
Brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals.
2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. Glad you're here to be a part of it on your Pioneer Day weekend. Hope you're enjoying it with your family. Going to be a scorcher, 100 degrees possible tomorrow. We think we'll avoid it today, but Mother Nature will decide. Depending on how many clouds we get, we should top out somewhere around 99 degrees, which, of course, is so much better than 100. Not really. What a first hour, guys. We not only heard from James in Texas, but we headed to Croatia to do a little biking of the island, so that's a pretty good adventure.
That's okay, too.
Coming up in this hour, we'll go road tripping with Bob and Mark. We'll find out where they want to take us. We will also check in with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge. Fingers crossed. I know he's had a busy week. We'll see if we can do that. And then we head to Millsite State Park. That's where Russ has decided we need to take our camp spot of the week. And it sounds like a fun place, Russ.
Yeah, I think it is. A lot to do there, that's for sure. And nice facilities. And the picture shows green. So
hey, how about that?
One of these days, I'm going to start broadcasting from the park.
There you go.
Yeah.
When you get the motorhome, you can just do the camp spot of the week from camp spot of the week.
Exactly. That's the plan.
I love that idea. All right. Before we get to any of that, though, this will bring back some memories for you. Nobby can sing along, I think.
Nah.
You remember this. It is the Batman thing. Yes, Batman. We're going to talk bats today. Kim Hersey is with us, our non-game mammals coordinator, back again for a second take. Usually after one experience, Kim, our guests run for the hills and never want anything more to do with us. So
that's
I'm glad you're back.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
All right, so you did learn the first time. why are we talking bats today? Are they a bigger problem than in years past?
No, not really. I just want to remind people that this time of year, we get a lot more calls of people seeing bats, and it's just part of their normal cycle when the young are born and more are out and about. So we often will get more sightings.
All right. Here's a story of what not to do. I was just a kid, so please don't hold me too accountable for this. But I remember growing up in Pocatello. We used to have bats, and they usually come out at dusk or, you know, after the sun goes down. And they would come out in the little city park that was about a block away from my house, and we'd be out there late in the summer months swinging or doing whatever we did. And the bats would dive bomb on us from time to time, so we started throwing shoes up in the air to give them something to go after. But they can be entertaining to watch. I guess the question for most people is, are they dangerous at all?
You know, they're not inherently that dangerous of a species. They want to keep away from you, and you want to keep away from them, like all wildlife. They do carry rabies, so which is, you know, a devastating disease. So we make sure that just don't touch them.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
I remember one of our trips, Russ, we made a stop at Dead Horse Point. Remember that? It was after dark.
Oh, yeah.
And there were warning
crazy there.
There were warning the signs about all of the bats that hang out there just outside the visitor center. I didn't know until today, and reading some of the background information, Kim, that a bat is a bat is a bat is not true. There are lots of species and many that call Utah home.
Exactly. There's 18 species that we know of that make Utah their home. Some are just small and brown and hard to tell apart, but we've got, you know, beautiful bats that are black with white spots on their back and giant ears. And, you know, they're really fascinating once you get to know more about them.
Once you get to know them.
Yeah.
As long as they're not hanging out in my house. I think it was Governor Cox who was on a family trip, and you probably heard about this, who posted a video on some of his social media because a bat got into the cabin or the house that they were in and caused quite a stir. I guess it would be a little disconcerting.
Yeah, it's certainly not something that people are used to, and when you have a bat flying around your house, you definitely want to get it out, and it can be scary for people. But, you know, the biggest thing is not to panic. Open your doors, turn off the lights inside, turn on the light on your porch, and give it a chance to get out on its own. If that doesn't work, let it land somewhere. Put a shoebox or a container over it. Slide something on top of that box. Take it outside and put it into a tree. But, you know, make sure that you're wearing big, heavy gloves if you do this. And if there's ever any chance that you've had any bite contact, hold on to the bat because it would need to be tested for rabies. And, that's essentially what you can do to take care of it.
Well, go ahead, Navi.
We get them all the time because when you're doing your bat cast or your fly, bats will attack it all the time. They come at the fly, and they'll hit it, and you're like, I got one behind me, and it's a bat.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. But they come off pretty easily. Sometimes they just don't let go of them. They're like, they got them in their hands, and they're like, nope, this is my fly. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's crazy. but that is a good segue, a good transition, Kim, into talking about why bats are beneficial. I don't remember the statistic, but I remember being amazed at how many mosquitoes one of those guys or gals can eat in a night.
Yeah, I mean, they can eat a significant percentage of their body weight every night in insects. Some will certainly take mosquitoes and that relief there. But the biggest thing is they're one of our most important, they are the most important, predator of night flying insects, especially moths, and which can be really important agricultural pests. So bats save us billions a year and preventing crop damage and pesticide use.
Yeah, and really, Russ, I think that takes us back to the story we were telling about Dead Horse Point. They're attracted to the visitors area because there are lights there, and the insects that's come to the lights, and the bats, you know, that's like a buffet.
That's right. You know, bats, I go back in my life into the old cabin that we used to have before it burnt down and we built a new one, and that was a big part of the evening entertainment. The everybody running around with a broom trying to get the bats out of that cabin.
Yeah. There is a reason why, at least in my understanding, Kim, there's a reason why they like to be in your house. It's probably because it's a mama who's trying to set up a nesting area.
Yeah, when you have big groups of bats in the house, you know, not just the one-off, but if you have a group of them, it will often be a maternity colony. And mothers look for those nice warm areas like attics to give birth to their young so they can leave them there alone at night and go out and hunt and get the resources that they need. So, you know, if you have a situation like that where you've got a group of bats, we need to make sure you can do everything you need to do to make sure they're not getting into your living area.
Yeah, so if it doesn't give you the eebie-jeebies to have one, think about mama giving birth to somewhere in the attic. How do we prevent that from happening?
The most important thing is make sure that you have all the cracks in your house sealed up. And I know that can be incredibly difficult, especially if you've got something like a log home. But just making sure that you're sealing up cracks in the house. If you do have a colony, you know, you want to make sure you're not trying to get rid of it during the peak of summer here where the females have young and the young can't fly. You know, it's really important not to try to get rid of a colony during this time of year when the young aren't able to fly. If you do that, you know, you get dead babies and angry mothers, and it can be quite a problem. So we want to wait until they can all fly out, and then you can go in and seal it up.
Well, if you want more details, just go to wildawareutah.org. If you were a little concerned about having them in your home, they're not the cutest little things ever. There's a picture, a pretty close-up shot of one at wildawareutah.org, and a face only a mother could love, actually. Kim, thank you.
Thank you.
Always nice to check in with Kim and have her expertise here. We're going to take another break. When we get back, we'll go road tripping. Bob and Mark coming up right around the corner here on KSL Outdoors Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's time to hit the road again, and you know what that means. We're headed out road tripping with Bob and Mark.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.
These guys don't wait long before they hit the road, back on the road again. And I don't know, Bob Grove, Mark Wade, where either of you have been for the last week, but you don't sit still for very long, Bob, do you?
No, I just barely got back last night from a couple of days with Adam Eagles at up in the Manti LaSalle National Forest.
Oh, what were you guys doing up there?
Trying to catch fish.
Trying is the operative word?
Yeah. Adam took it personally, but...
well, you have to look at it from Adam's point of view. He's trying to put together good video for a TV show. And if you're not, if you're not catching fish, it tends to be a problem.
We caught a few small ones, but the big ones just looked at us, stuck their tongue out, and you know, swam away.
Yeah. I'm glad we caught up with Mark, actually, because you and your wife are actually going to be on the road, sounds like, quite a bit in the near future, possibly, Mark.
We decided we're going to get us a good travel trailer and head north and see how far north we go.
Well, I mentioned to you off the air, and Navi is aware of this, too, that the border of Canada is opening up as of August 9th. Just know that, and I mentioned this to him too, not only do you need your passports, obviously, and if you're fully vaccinated, you're still going to be required to have a negative test before you go, probably within 72 hours of when you cross the border. So good thing for everybody to keep in mind, but it is nice that that's finally going to be opened up. Sometimes I think on our conversations, and I'm guilty of this, we either talk about what's going on in the north or what's going on down south, and the fact is you could be bypassing some really great stuff in central Utah. So, Mark, you wanted to concentrate on central Utah today.
Well, we just thought that there was an area near the, let's say, south of I-70 and north of Bryce Canyon. There's an area in central Utah that we would look at today that we haven't talked about. And it's the Big Rock Candy Mountain, Marysvale, a couple of state park reservoirs, and some ranches down there that we think would be fun to go visit.
Bob, let's start with Big Rock Candy Mountain. There are some fun things to do there. And I think, sadly, most people, when they hit 89, just blast right through there. Maybe they stop for gas or candy or something. But it would be worth staying a couple of days.
It is. You know, it was closed for quite a number of years, but reopened some time ago. In fact, worked quite extensively with Big Rock Candy Mountain, but a lot of people probably know it by just passing by on 89. It's about 7 miles south of I-70 and 5 miles north of Marysville. And that big old yeller mountain there that Merle Ives made famous with the song Big Rock Candy Mountain. He didn't actually write that song. It was written by Harry McClintock, known as Haywire Mac, a hobo that rode the rails through there and saw that mountain.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot to do there. They got a lot, you know, they've got a motel with several units in that, cabins, an RV park, tent camping. They've got all kinds of things to do, from running the Sevier River there. They have some rafting trips and float trips on the Sevier River.
You have any idea what the water situation is on the Sevier right now? I don't.
It's, you know, I know it's fairly low. Paiute, that we were going to mention later on, but the Paiute Reservoir is only 7% right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's quite low, yeah. So the river, you know, we're seeing throughout the West, everything's running a little bit low. Although I have to say, in the Manti-La-Salle National Forest, we saw some reservoirs up there that were still quite full.
Are the train cars that are used as overnight hotel stays, are those still open?
They were developing that, but I don't see them on the website as being an option for lodging. So I'm not sure what they're doing with those at this point. The owner was collecting those and converting them into lodging, but they're not listed. So I'm assuming they're not included in the lodging options at this point.
All right. There are zip lines there, too, or there used to be anyway. I don't know if those are still
there. There's zip lines. There's a zip line that goes across the river. They have what they call the Adventure Park, where they got a Via Ferrata and some zip lines there as well. Yeah. Lot to do. It's a fun place for families.
Yeah, and worth a stay for a weekend if you haven't been there. Mark, tell me about Marysville, just up the road.
Yeah, we're going to stay just south of Big Rock Candy Mountain is Marysville. And, you know, I think this is an area that built its reputation on the ATV trade, the UTV market, let's say, and in recent years, the last 20 years. And people have started coming to there, so there's a lot of RV parks in that area now. There's some good lodging. There's restaurant food available. And it's just a place now in Marysville that's a good central base because you're down in the valley. In between, you've got the Tusher Mountains. You go up over 12,000 feet on the west, and some other part of the Fish Lake Mountains on the east of you, and just a lot of area to explore. You got hunting and fishing from there. There are state parks, of course, we're going to talk about just south of there. And it's a great place for just a lot of different activities, good place to base out of if you want to just get away.
Yeah. We've only got about 90 seconds here, unfortunately. I got too caught up talking about Big Rock Candy Mountain. But you mentioned Paiute Reservoir. This might not be a good idea for the rest of the summer if they're only at 7% of normal. Tough to probably even launch a boat there. What about Otter Creek Reservoir?
Otter Creek has the main launch is still open. The water conditions are good enough for that. Great fishing. I've had some of my best fishing experiences at Otter Creek, and that's right there just north of Anemone.
Yeah.
Great camping, RV park, a lot of amenities there as well.
Mark, is this Rockin' R Ranch the place you were hanging out not long ago?
Nope. This is not the place we were talking about before, but it's just south of Otter Creek Reservoir. It's just a couple miles south. It's a great place for a lot of fun activities, too, and a good getaway Western ranch experience there.
It says Utah Dude Ranch Vacation. They actually let you get on horses and herd cattle?
They do. Little river trips as well. And Bob, I heard you say, sound like you wanted to add to this.
Well, I was just going to say, it was mentioned. They do a couple of cattle drives each year, let the guests do their work for them.
Yeah, I've tried to make that work in my backyard when I have, I should have done that with the remodel of the backyard. Hired it out as an experience, a landscaping experience, and let somebody else do the hard labor. All right, if you want to learn any more about all these areas and so many more, Mark, tell them where to find you guys online.
RoadTrippin@BobAndMark.com.
RoadTrippin@BobAndMark.com. Bob Grove, Mark Wade, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.